Anyone else crying? Every time I listen to that song, I get emotional. Every time. A little taste of what you've got coming. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to greet you from the churches in Taiwan, from the CNMA churches there, and from the National Church President, Silas Yang. They all are appreciative of what you have done in sending missionaries to Taiwan for many, many years, as you heard earlier, since the 50s. Rachel and I have been there for 36 years. This is going to get lower and lower, and I'm going to get lower and lower. I'm already short, but I appreciate getting phone calls from Taiwan, except sometimes they come at the wrong times. I hope I'm not going to get one this morning, especially after your pastor scared the bejesus out of me. You know, I don't know. last night when we were out with the Murdochs, I got a phone call from Taiwan, but inopportune time. It's between 12 and 13 hours difference, depending on the time here, daylight savings time. But I enjoy getting calls from friends of mine in Taiwan. I have not enjoyed getting phone calls here because I cannot tell who they're from, except when it's a scam like me. But I'm afraid that one of the times one of the pastors from the Alliance Church in some area is going to call me and it's going to say, scam like me. And then I'm not going to answer it and I'll be in trouble. Calls are important, though. I think we would all agree to that. There are phone calls that when you were younger, maybe you really were hoping for. Maybe you're out looking for a job and someone was going to call you. And you're just waiting for that one call for that job you always wanted. Maybe you were in the dating days, you know, remember those days? And you're going to have a date. There are all kinds of calls that we can receive. Maybe someone's going to call you tomorrow. Now, Pistons haven't started playing ball yet, have they? Maybe when they start, maybe they'll call you now and say, hey, I've got season tickets and I want to make sure you go with me. You have mud hens here, right? I still don't know what a mud hen is. But I know Klinger liked them on MASH. So. The one call that I remember always hoping for was the call from Ed McMahon. And if you're too young to know who that is, and you see someone laughing next to you, ask them later. Ask them later, okay? Today, my focus is going to be on God's call. God's call to every single person in the world. God's call to you. God's call to me. Okay, in the book of Isaiah, there's a lot of things that talk about God's call in people's lives. I'm going to focus on a passage out of Isaiah 55 this morning. Now, I am not going to preach what I normally would do. I'm not going to preach an expository sermon where I go verse by verse or section by section. But I'm going to do something that's a no-no from our homiletics class. This is a springboard for the whole book of Isaiah and parts of the other Bible. So your responsibility is even greater this morning than it often is. You need to take what I say and compare it to the scriptures.
You need to see if what I'm saying is truly what God is saying. And you need to do that every time someone's standing up here speaking to you, or you're listening on the radio or watching on the television. God's word is our standard for everything. So please, please feel free to do that. And if you have a problem, feel free to talk to me about it too. One thing I always say though, you better be right. You better be right. Isaiah is this important to us. It's quoted 62 times in the New Testament, 25 times in Paul, 6 times in Peter, 21 times in the Gospel. Or I said 25 times in Paul, 5 times in Acts, 4 times in the book of Revelation, and 1 time in Hebrews, or at least it's alluded to. Get to know Isaiah. Get to know it. Now, I'm going to read the passage from Isaiah 55, 6 to 13. So please follow with me or listen, because this is from a translation you may be unfamiliar with. Inquire of the Lord while he is present. Call upon him when he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their ways and evil men their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, who will have pity on them. Return to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the very word of the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return until they have watered the earth, making it blossom and bear fruit, and give seed for sowing and bread to eat, so shall the word which comes from my mouth prevail. It shall not return to me fruitless without accomplishing my purpose or succeeding in the task I gave it. You shall indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Before you, mountains and hills shall break into cries of joy, and all the trees of the wild shall clap their hands. Pine trees shall shoot up in the place of camel thorn, myrtles instead of briars. All this shall win the Lord a great name, imperishable, a sign for all time. Would you pray with me again, please? Father, please keep your word to us now. Now. Do not let your word return to you void, but accomplish in every life what it is that you intended to do. And I include myself in that, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I wish for you Ping An today. Ping An is what we say in Taiwan. Almost every time we start a service, go away, di song jian mei men ping an. Peace, peace to you. May you have the shalom of God, because you also have peace with God this morning. The only way to have peace and to understand God's call in your life, and I want to remind you, every single person in this room has been called by God. In order to have this, we have to have a relationship with him. That's number one. God calls you to himself, to relationship with him. Now, not all of our relationships with God have started the same way. I'm sure you understand that, you know that. And part of it is that we're not always listening. I can't guarantee that you're listening right now. There's no way for me to tell. Some of you have learned to listen with your eyes closed. Now, I know that Rachel's tried to get my attention sometimes, and she could say, "Hey, Don, are you listening?" Well, if she continues to do that, you know, I'll get it sometime. Sometimes I'm sitting there in front of the TV, resting my eyes, and I don't hear her right away. But when God gets through to us, it can cause us all kinds of emotion, all kinds of responses. Holy, holy, holy is what Isaiah experienced when he was called by God. And that's in the book of Isaiah too. What happened when he saw the Most Holy One, when he heard the angels crying out, holy, holy, holy? He was startled. Whoa, what is this? He had never seen anything like that, never experienced this, and never understood those things. He felt shame, for one thing. We went through a period of time, from my memory, which is fading, when shame was always poo-pooed, was always looked at as being a terrible thing. But shame, remember, even Jesus told the Pharisees, shame on you. Shame is real, and it's not bad if it's coming from God. He felt shame. Why? Because he saw and understood how holy God was, or is, and how unholy he was. That comparison, that gulf, really made him feel shame because of all of that. He thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm toast. Does anybody say that anymore? Language changes so much. Someone told me that, oh, you spoke really tough today. Your ending was really tough. And I thought, oh no, I really blew it. And the pastor looked in my eyes and he said, that's not what he means. He means he did okay. And toast means I'm in big trouble. If I stay in this place, I'm going to be burned up. Don't look for that in the Bible. It doesn't say that. I'm toast. But he was concerned for himself. And yet, at the very same time, he knew that God loved him. And he was amazed by that. I don't know if he had already started to seek God. It's God's will for his life. You know, the Bible says there's no one that sees after God. No, not one. So when people talk about other religions, and we have lots of them in Taiwan, I do not believe at all, 0%, I do not believe that those people are seeking God by going to other religions. I believe there are ways to avoid God going after other religions. But when God starts to draw a person to himself and they respond to him, to that drawing, they will seek. They will seek. So what did he do? How did we get that far ahead? He repented. He repented of his sin. Do you remember when you did that? I remember when I did it. When I cried out, God, I sinned against you. I remember that day so clearly. And I remember I told him, I'm sorry. For me, I was on my knees crying because I knew I had sinned. We don't all cry like that. We have different ways of expressing ourselves, but each one of us needs to realize that before God, we're toast if we do not repent and trust him. And the people of the world need to be doing that also, because we are all fundamentally the same. The same. And we're all created in the image of God, but we all have walked away from God's glory. But he's calling us back to himself. And when we come to him like that, he forgives us. totally. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he cast our sins from us. Hey, people, I've gone from the east to the west. I've gone to the far corners of the sea. And yet there my God is also. And on the way, I guess he took my sins and cast them in the deepest seas, into the Mariana Trench, I don't know. You know, just figurative speaking, they're gone. And your sins are gone if you know him. If you don't know him yet, you still have those sins in your life, and you are still an enemy of God. You are an actual enemy. And then, of course, God restored Isaiah. And when he restored him, he told him, Isaiah, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you. God, when he called you, he was going to send you too. You can't get out of that. You can't get out of that. God called different people in the scriptures and was sending them too. I believe, and here's one you can test me on, feel free. I believe that God can even call non-believers like he did Cyrus the Mede. Cyrus was called in Isaiah, but he wasn't even born yet. And God was going to use him in order to help the Israelites return to Jerusalem. Cyrus would have opportunity to accept that responsibility or reject it. In the Bible, in Isaiah, in chapter 49, 3 and 4, the nation of Israel was called by God. Even when they were unbelieving at times, he was calling them, and he was, in Isaiah 53, calling the Messiah that wasn't born yet. And God called other people in the scriptures. He called Samuel, he called John the Baptist, and he called their parents. And maybe God's work in your life is mostly because he wants you as a parent to do a ministry with your children that will change the world. And really, you're a big part of that, changing the world too, as you obey God. I believe that God called Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is a great example of someone that blew it. God wanted Pharaoh to let my people go. And he gave him all kinds of opportunities. And just think of the name that he could have had. He could have put up a stylus or whatever they call those big rocks where they carve into them. I, Pharaoh, let the Israelites go back to their people at God's command. You know, that could have been remembered for history. Instead, he's remembered for being the one who caused God's wrath to come on the people of Egypt. God calls. Will you be like Pharaoh and harden your heart to whatever God's trying to call you to today? What he's called you to before, will you follow him? For God calls us, and it's always to his will. It's always to his will. Remember when we learned to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done. You, or some of you, have prayed that many times. Did you mean it? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah was made for God's purposes, to do his will. Like him, we are not to dictate to God what that will is. We are to discover what that will is. We are not to be, as the Bible talks about, a piece of pottery saying to the potter, hey man, you blew it. You messed, it's not right. You guys have a museum next door. They're doing glass blowing over there. I guess it would be like the glass saying to the glass blower, hey man, you blew it. Now, that would be true, but he could blow it right and blew it wrong. But we can't be like the potter that says, you messed up what you were making. I don't want to be like this. And to be honest with you, there have been times in my life that I felt like saying that to God, maybe felt it God, you didn't make me right. I'm not like so-and-so and so-and-so. But that holds us back from doing what God wants us to do. Have you done that? You can change. You can repent. And in Taiwan, we're trying to help people to understand that they are called and they can do the things that God has called them to do, even in a culture that is primarily against God. They're not against gods, little gods. They have them all over the place. The last place in which we lived for 15 years, there's villages after village after village after village after village with no church at all. But there were many idols, not only in temples and shrines, but in homes. But they, as the scriptures say, have eyes and cannot see, ears that cannot hear. They can't do anything. They can't get up off of their pedestal. I've seen people carrying idols in the temple, in the airport. I've seen people taking the idol from one temple to another temple to visit the other idol. I know it sounds ridiculous, but they really believe that. And the Bible says when we worship idols, we become like them. It's sad. It's sad. You and I need to do what God wants us to do, but you have to discover it. Discover it. Pastor, I would like you to prepare some spitballs or something if I start going too long. When I came to Christ at 17 years old, when I was born again then, right away God called me to himself and called me and sent me to start doing things. I didn't understand everything, but I started to follow. This is not a brag session, God forbid. This is just to give you some stimulus, maybe to help you start moving a little. I preached my first sermon after that, 17 years old, in a mainline church. My pastor asked me to, or worked it out for me. I started participating in small groups and learned how to lead a small group back then. Later, I went to Fort Wayne Bible College in Indiana. Got involved in Christian service assignments. Praise God that they had that system. I was a Sunday school teacher at the time. I was a tutor in a group home. I was a youth group leader in Archbold, Ohio for a summer. I helped start a traveling missions group called Envoy. I led the Student Missionary Fellowship for 1 year. And later I taught English in a Chinese church in New York City. I drove a school bus for disabled children. And later on I did a devotional every night on radio in a small community in North Dakota. And I also had a weekly newspaper article. All these different things, trying to reach people with them and trying to use the opportunities that God was giving me. Some went very well. Some I didn't do so well. But that's what happens. Did I want to quit sometimes? Uh-huh. But God picked me up and he gave me people that would encourage me. And you folks in this room are so important to one another, because as you learn to discover what God has for you, even with the possibility of going overseas to do ministry, you will need people to encourage you, to help you along, sometimes to say the hard thing to you. You didn't do so well here. Maybe you could help. This would help you. Now, some people are professionals at that, you know. Yeah. But we need one another. We need that encouragement. And we will do things that maybe we didn't expect that would ever be possible. But God is the God of the impossible. Remember, you know, some of you have impossible children. One of the things Rachel has noticed over the years is some of those impossible children of the past became the best missionaries in the Alliance here. God will give you all kinds of opportunities. And don't think that because you do this that you're not going to be called by God to do something else also. Paul was called to whom? The Gentiles. Yet he also preached to the Jews. Peter was called to the Jews. Yet he also preached to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. Don't think that because you have a ministry now doing this thing that you can't, even for the moment, accept God's call to witness to the person that you... I'm sorry, life has changed so much in this States, I don't know where to go. I was going to say, to the guy that pumps your gas. You'd be talking to yourself, probably. To the people you often do business with, or your neighbors, or someone. Don't think that because you have done kindergarten ministries here that you can't go on and do something else when God says do that. You can. You can. And then God's call is for us to know that purpose, to discover it, and to grow in it. To grow. To get better as you live for God. But always remember, you're declaring God is one. There's a lot of false gods in this world, but God is one. Read Isaiah. That will remind you of it. And God's going to call you to persevere in it too, because it's hard. It can be hard sometimes. Sometimes it's smooth sailing, sometimes it's not. It was hard for some of those Olympic players, athletes. For me, it was hard to go to Bible college because my dad was not a believer and he called me a fool. He would not support me. He had originally said he would support me for one quarter of college. He would not support me except to give me $50 that later he said was given to me so that I could buy a bus ticket home. It was hard to pay for school because I wasn't prepared well. I had to work, go to school part-time, go back to school, live off campus, live on campus, so on and so on. It was tough in home service in North Dakota. We were bivocational. There were months that we had $200 income, literally. I know $200 then was worth more than now, but it was hard with $200, and then the next month we might have $800, and so on. We had to put this money together. Language study was hard. Man, you try to learn Chinese with four tones. Man, I can tell you some bad mistakes. And yet there are people that have learned Arabic. I learned Mandarin Chinese, that's the easy one. The Cantonese, the Hakka, and some of the others are very difficult, or more difficult than Mandarin. But I was in a park, the first day we were there, and I was listening to a woman talking to her dog in Chinese, and I thought, oh brother, the dog's smarter than me. And the Holy Spirit said, no, it's not. I made you. I called you here. I will equip you. You will speak Chinese. 现在我能够讲中文。我不是中国人,但是我会讲中文。 And I can also speak a little bit of this. 我不是台湾人。我台语不真好。I can speak a little bit of Taiwanese too. God will help you to do what's impossible for you. It's hard sometimes. Hard. It was hard for us because of illnesses. And I want to thank you folks. You prayed for us. You helped us. God used you to help us to keep going when we could have come home many times. When our twins were born and were in the hospital for so long and Mark developed hydrocephalus. You prayed him through that surgery that came on Easter night, your Easter night here. And you prayed for me when I got cancer. And you prayed for me when I had my sigmoid colon removed. And you prayed for me when my back had to have major surgery. And pray for me now. It's not serious. It's not serious. But I have skin, I just found out I have skin cancer. It's an easier kind to take care of. But God helps us to keep going. What's happened in your life? And do you have people next to you, true friends that will help you walk through that? The body of Christ that will bring Jesus' love to you, it will encourage you to keep you to go. He's getting his spitballs ready. And of course, the resistance to the gospel, There's personal issues, cultural issues, tradition that can hold us back. The world is strong against us. The flesh is strong against us. Satan is. But Jesus has overcome it all. And we're called wherever we go to proclaim the good news. The good news. What is evangelism? The Bible says that evangelism is telling the good news. And the history behind that word is military people, after a war that was won, going throughout the country to the villages saying, "We won. We won. Hey, we won." And that's what we're doing, telling Jesus won. Jesus overcame the power of sin and the power of death. We, when we first got to Taiwan, used to listen to mourning for hours, crying loud with a microphone, mourning the death of people. And it was awful, just awful. But Jesus takes away that sorrow and gives joy if you know that that person is going to be with Jesus forever. Are you? Are you? Don't leave this place today if you don't know yet. Talk to me, talk to the pastor, pastor's wife, or any of the other people in this room that you know that knows Jesus. Share the gospel. Be like Pastor Jian. Pastor Jian, as a teenager, took drugs. Pastor Jian, this is before he's passed, called pastor, he went into prison for 14 years. He came out and he tried to get clean three times, kept failing, until he went to a Christian organization called Dawn. While he was there, God got a hold of him. He kept going. He got clean. He went after that to the Christian Missionary Alliance Bible College in Taipei. He is now the pastor of our church, along with several others like that, who know how God can help a person and clean up a person. We don't have to be drug addicts. We can be other kinds of addicts. We can be whatever sinner we are and still, because of God cleaning us up, become people who do evangelization, who evangelize, tell people Jesus won. Jesus won. I want to tell you one more story about another person, okay? There's a person in our church named Yvonne. Yvonne, about 25 years ago, had three children. Her husband went to the KTV to have a good time. That was fine, you know, go there, be with your buddies and all that. But while he was there, he was murdered. Suddenly, Yvonne became a single mom who was responsible for an entire business, had no clue how to do it. And she had these three little kids. So she thought the only thing she could do was to pour her life into that business, to learn it and do it, and she neglected her children. Money still wasn't enough, so she went and did other things. I'm not going to explain to you what those other things are. But they were not good things. And she had that kind of a lifestyle for a long time, but her life was empty and she didn't know what to do. Just outside of our town, as he came in, we put up a billboard. And it said, "You can't, but I can, Jesus." She stopped by the side of the road, just sat there looking at it, as we found that some other people did. Then she went and found our church, and she was led to the Lord by that the person that was our field director at that time. She became a part of our congregation. It was hard for her because people knew what she was like, what kind of person she was. And it was so hard for them to believe that she could be any different. And yet she continued to work to show the love of Jesus and kept living for Christ. When we baptized her, we used this orange tub. And this orange tub, she says, "I'm not going to be baptized in that." We put garbage in those things in our factories. They did eggs, duck eggs and goose eggs. They incubated them. And then they sold the young chicks. She said, "We put garbage in there." So what the ladies of the church did, they put Christmas paper all over it. And when she was baptized, we said, "Jesus is giving you the gift of salvation, and you now are a gift to Jesus." And, you know, she was happy with that. It was good. We tell the facts. Jesus came to this earth. He died. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and then he ascended to heaven. They're all facts, historical reality. And that gives people life. And because of that, people would come running to Jesus from every tribe and nation of the earth to follow him. And after that, we started committing that to these people in Taiwan so that they would continue that teaching also. Remember when Jesus was going to go, he first told the disciples, and they said, "Nah, you're not going to do that. You're not going to leave. Please don't leave. Why do you want to leave? Don't you like us?" No, this is Don Kramer paraphrase. But they did that with us. "Why do you want to leave here? We have national health care." That was helpful for me. We love you guys. Now, they don't necessarily use the word love, but they loved us. It was obvious. And then towards the end, they cry. And we cry. And I think Jesus, when he left into heaven, I think there was probably a bit of the same kind of attitude as when he went to the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, knowing that it was going to cause you and me to have a relationship with him, and that one day every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And I believe that when he went to heaven and left them, he set aside that pain of the moment because he feels things too. He was saddened to see their sadness. It was difficult for him to leave his friends and the people that loved him and he loved. And yet he knew he was going to send the Holy Spirit and have the church here. And he knew he was going to come back again. Called. You turned your phone off if you were obedient to the big man over here. Have you turned your phone off so that you can't hear God call you? Is there anyone here that you know that God's saying to you, "I want you to go overseas to be a missionary"? You have no clue what that's going to mean, but you can believe him. Is there anyone here who's called to some other ministry? Listen. Stop resting your eyes. Open up your heart and follow him. He loves you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, there's so many things I would love to share with these people who have been so wonderful to us for the last 36 years. The stories, and if they came thinking they were going to hear more stories and didn't, and they're saddened by that, please forgive me and please help them. Help them to remember most of all your love for them and your call in their lives and your willingness to devote yourself to them throughout that call, that you will never leave them nor forsake them as you have never left me nor forsaken me or Rachel or any of the other missionaries from this that have gone out of this body and out of the Christian Mission Alliance or in other missions. You are a good God. You are the good God. You are great and greatly to be praised. Worthy are you, O Lamb of God. Worthy are you. We worship you in our obedience to your call. In Jesus' name we pray.